All right. Good morning. Perfect timing. We're just getting started. All right. So this morning I wanted to discuss something which is a little bit cryptic, trying to put something together to make some sense out of this. The Rambam. Trying to get maybe a little bit of an understanding of the very terse and brief description that the Rambam gives us of Tchiyas HaMeisim in his introduction to Sanhedrin. So there's not much discussion about this. Try and put it together on our own. But as we've noted before, the Rambam, for all of the other Ikrim, some of them he says more, some of them he says less. For the seventh Iker about Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes on for a very long time. It's about it's almost the size of the rest of the Ikrim combined. But for every Iker, whether or not the Rambam goes on at length to tell you the significance of it, or the details, or anything like that, he at least tells you what it is. He tells you, the first Iker is this, the existence of Hashem, the who, and that is, and then he tells you what it means that Hashem exists, and what it means, what it is that you're supposed to believe. And for the, tenth Iker, the Yesod HaSiri is that God knows the actions of man, and that is, then quotes a pasuk, tells you a little bit about it. For the 13th Iker, the Rambam tells us essentially nothing. He has. We've had this many times on our source sheet, but here it is again. Yesod HaShlosha Asar Tchiyas HaMeisim Ukvar Be'arnu. The 13th Iker is the Iker of Tchiyas HaMeisim, the resuscitation, the arrival, resurrection of the dead. Ukvar Be'arnu. And we've already explained it. So the Rambam doesn't tell us anything about it here. He says that we already discussed it. And he says, so we already discussed, meaning it's going to be previous. So if we look back in the introduction to Sanhedrin, in the, so to speak, preamble of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, it's not really preamble of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, it's the, I guess, in a certain sense, the main part of the introduction to Parakelech, but there the Rambam had discussed very briefly the Tchiyas HaMeisim, but what he says there does not seem to be very descriptive of what Tchiyas HaMeisim is. And so we're going to try and understand. The Rambam is giving us, is telling us, if you want to know, the basics of what Tchiyas HaMeisim is, Kvar Be'arnu, we already explained it. So we should read this paragraph, and we should hope that we'll get some kind of idea of the basics of what Tchiyas HaMeisim is. It says we already explained it, so we'll hope we'll get some explanation. But if we look back, it does not seem to be such an explanatory paragraph. The Rambam writes, the bottom of the page here, Tchiyas HaMeisim, Yesod Miyesodos Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. Tchiyas HaMeisim is among the foundations of the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein das ve'ein kasher ima uma Yehudis, l'mi she'ein umamin b'kach. There is no religion or no observance, and there's no connection with the Jewish people for someone who does not believe in it. Ella, so that's the Rambam tells us. He says Ella shehila tzadikim, but Tchiyas HaMeisim is for the righteous. The lashon brachos rabba v'ros geshamim latzadikim l'rashayim, v'tchiyas HaMeisim latzadikim bilvad. Gemara he's quoting from Brachos Rabba, it's also Gemara, that the Gemara says that Gruos Geshamim, that which God gives rain, is greater in a certain sense than Tchiyas HaMeisim, because the gift of rain is both for the Tzadikim and the Rashaim, both the wicked and the righteous benefit from it, as opposed to Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's only for the Tzadikim. So says the Rambam, I have an explicit source that you, it's not the point of that Gemara, but he says, inherent in that Gemara is that Tchiyas HaMeisim is only for the Tzadikim. And the Rambam explains why is it that Tchiyas HaMeisim is only for the Tzadikim. V'heyach yichyu harishayim, v'hein meisim afilu b'chayehem. How are the wicked going to come back to life even while they were alive, they were dead? V'kach amru aleihem shalom, and this is what Chazal said about them. Rishayim afiu b'chayehem keruyim mesim, the wicked, even in their lifetime, are called dead. V'tzadikim afiu b'misason keruyim chayim, and the righteous, even in their lifetimes, I'm sorry, even in their death, are called alive. V'dasha adam yamos behechlet v'yipari lama, I accidentally cut off the last two words, lama shaburka mimenu, know that man will die in an absolute sense, and will separate, will dissolve back into the component parts from which he is made up. This is seemingly a reference to the Rambam's Shita, which he says somewhere elsewhere in the introduction to Sanhedrin, and which he writes about in his Igeres HaTchiya, that after Tchiyas Samesim, that the people will die again. So the Rambam seemingly adding in here that the Tchiyas Samesim, but you know, person is by necessity going to the end their physical existence. That the nature of physicality is that it's anything which is made up. We went through this point in the Rambam once before, that anything which is made up of components, anything the component, anything formed of anything which is a compound, is in a certain sense artificial, and it'll dissolve back into what it really is, and therefore the physical portion of man is made up of from the Dalad Yesodos, and therefore is going to eventually decompose into those components. But the Rambam here, for our purposes, is describing what Tchiyas HaMesim is, or at least telling us about the centrality of Tchiyas HaMesim. And the only thing that the Rambam feels necessary to tell us is that it's only for tzaddikim, rishayim, even when they were alive, they were essentially dead. That tzaddikim, even once they die, they're still considered alive. And therefore, Tchiyas HaMesim is only for the righteous. And that's...
there are only two kinds of people.
I mean, we have someone called a Beinoni, which, you know, when we coming up to Rosh Hashanah, a lot of discussion in the Seres Yemei Tshuva about the Beinoni, the status of the Beinoni. But the status of a Beinoni is an intermediate status. So everyone at the point of their at the point of their death is going to be judged as either a tzaddik or a rasha. A Beinoni is in this intermediate stage between between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where he has the opportunity to tip the balance. There's an interesting discussion in the Rambam, actually, that the way the Rambam phrases it is, he says that comes Rosh Hashanah, the tzaddikim are immediately inscribed in the Sefer HaChayim, and the Rishayim are immediately inscribed in the Sefer of Misa. And he says, and the Beinonim are Tluyim Omdim until Yom Kippur. If they do teshuvah, then they'll be written in the Sefer of HaChaim. And if they don't do teshuvah, so then they won't be written in the Sefer HaChaim.
They're
written in
the Sefer HaChaim.
Yeah.
But at the time that you're either a tzaddik or a rasha.
Right. So the interesting thing in the Rambam is that he doesn't say if you do a mitzvah you'll go to the tzaddik side, and if you do an aveira, you'll go to the rasha side. He says if you do tshuva, then you'll go to the tzaddik side, and if you don't do teshuva, then you'll go to the rasha side. So, or if you do a mitzvah, you'll go. So the question is that by not doing tshuva, so you seem to be at the same place you were before, right? If you did tshuva, so I understand. So I did tshuva, I go to the side of the tzaddik. But if I don't do teshuva, so then what exactly have I? You know, why am I any different than where I was before? I should remain a Beinoni. So lots of discussion about that. But the simplest, I think, the most straightforward answer is that in that time, not doing tshuva itself, when it's, you know, Dirshu Hashem b'yimatzo karu b'yoso karu, when God presents himself and says, do tshuva, I'm here, I'm ready to accept it, and you don't, that itself is exacerbating, you know, whatever the problems were that you had. Is if you are neglecting to do tshuva when the opportunity presents itself, So then, you know, that itself is tipping the scale to the side of. But it, but so.
Sorry, I don't want to get too off track. This, but hopefully it won't.
Yeah.
Say you're 90 years old, Yom Kippur, you're on a bain in the east level.
Right.
You do Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. 6 months later, you do something very bad. Whatever.
I mean, so the din of Rosh Hashanah is year by year, is for each year. So you, so 6 months later is already on the next year's.
And then you die.
And then the person dies, so the person has a din when they die. Right? There's actually a lot of discussion in the Rishonim and onward that the implication of several sources in the Chazal is that there are actually two times that a person is judged. A person is judged when he dies, and then. Depending on different sources, either he's judged every year, even though he died already, he's judged again every year on Yom Kippur, and there, or else there's another implication that by the Yom HaDin HaGadol, at the time of basically Tchias HaNeisim, that there will be a Yom HaDin HaGadol, a great day of Din, in which everyone is judged, both those who are alive and those who are dead. There's a Tosos who talks about exactly what the point of that is. What's the point of having, you know, you were judged when you died, and you haven't done much since then. So what's the point of having an additional day of Din? So Tosos actually says that a person has a Din on the things they left behind, the effects of their actions that lived on after them, that the person did, you know, let's say just for example, a person taught their, you know, had a child, and they raised their child, and they were mechanic them, and now their child is doing mitzvos on whatever level they're doing them because that person was mechanic them to do mitzvos. So that person is getting credit for that. Or if a person, you know, made a big chilul Hashem, right? You went and spit at someone for whatever it was that they did, and turned that person off, and now they're no longer interested in keeping mitzvos. So that's on your head, and even after you die, there is that person doing. You have, you know, partial credit for. So that the person, that there will be a din for all of the aftermath of a person's life, whether it be for better or for worse. And Tosafot says that's you know, the second din that we're talking about. But so a person, when a person dies, there's a din, and then eventually down the road, whether it be every year again on Rosh Hashanah, or whether it be eventually in the Yom HaDin HaGadol, that there's another din.
I can have a lot of questions on that.
Oh, yeah, okay. So we'll reserve time after class. But in any case, so the one thing the Rambam decides is important to tell us in about Tchias HaMeisim is that it's for tzaddikim. So one would hope that this is somewhat instructive of the nature of Tchias HaMeisim, because the Rambam doesn't give us even a bare bones description of what is Tchias HaMeisim. I mean, the words themselves kind of, you know, imply a certain amount. Tchias HaMeisim, it's the coming back to life of the dead. But the Rambam, by all the other ones, even the things that are, you know, somewhat self-evident, right? God exists. So then the Rambam goes on and explains to you, you know, what exactly it means that God exists. But, you know, God exists means God exists. So the Rambam goes on and explains, gives some level of basic description of what is this thing that we're describing by everything else. Here, this is all the Rambam tells us. So we would hope that, you know, included in this very basic point is something which is more fundamental to the basic concept of what Tchias HaMeisim is. So we're going to try and get, and again, we're going to try and just put things together. We're not going to find anyone or anything where, you know, the Rambam somewhere else says, oh, and by the way, what I meant over there was. So we're trying to piece some things together. We'll see if we can at least get some idea, appreciation of the significance of this point. Now, I just want to, we're gonna try and focus on this Gemara that the Rambam brought, a Gemara in Brachos, Dr. Chess, the Gemara which says that Tzadikim, the Chayim, Kurim, the Misasim, Kurim, Chayim, and Rishayim, the Chayim, Kurim, Mesim, that the righteous, even after they die, are still called alive, and the dead, even while they're alive, are called. I'm sorry, and the wicked, even while when they're alive, are still called dead. So The Rambam actually makes reference to this Gemara in Mor Nevochim in Chelek Aleph Parak Mem Beis, and we'll start here because it's always best to understand the Rambam with the Rambam. So the Rambam here is describing the Rambam gives a lot of definitions in the first Chelek of Mor Nevochim, and here he's defining the terms Chayim and Misa, and he starts with a very basic definition and then he goes on to explain other ideas that are included in what Chayim and Misa mean. And the Rambam writes, Ukvar harbu lehishtamish b'shem zeh gam l'inyin rechishas ha-chachma. That it is already it's common, it's abundant to use this term Chayim to refer to amassing chachma, to the accumulation of wisdom. Talks about learning Torah, and it will bring life to your nefesh. Ki motzae matza chayim, those who find me or find Torah have found life. Ki chayim heim lamotzaeim, that divrei Torah are life for those who discover them. Right, the Zaharbe, there are many examples like this where chayim in that context does not mean, you know, biological life. It's referring to something more than that. It's referring to the Rambam says, it's referring to acquiring chachma is also called life. The al pizeh kara es hadeos hanachonos chayim, and according to this, Chazal refer to the proper hashkafas, the proper understandings, as chayim, the hadeus hanifsados mavis, and they call the incorrect understandings death. Amar Yisale re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom es chayim es chayim es atov v'chulei. Says the pasuk says in the Torah says, see that I have placed before you today life and good, v'es harav v'es mavis, in the bad and death. Right, that there the term chayim is referring to, I've placed before you the correct understanding, I've placed before you the Torah and the correct path is called chayim. Hine bar ki atov hu chayim, that good is called chayim, baharav hu mavis, and the bad is paired up, is referred to as mavis. Fine. The kaf ani mivair, and this is how I also explain Amro Yisale Lama'an Tichyun. This is how I explain when the Torah says that you should keep all of the mitzvos Lama'an Tichyun in order that you live. Ke'inyin masha ne'mar bepirsha makubal ba'amro Lama'an Yitav l'cha v'harach l'yamim. That along the same lines as that to which the Chazal say in the pasuk of Lan Yitav l'cha, that you'll have a long life in the state that's referring to in Olam Haba. Umachmas nefutzel shimush zeh b'lashon Amram, and it's because of this usage of it that we have also what Chazal say, tzadikim afilu b'misasam keruyim chayim, u'rishayim afilu b'chayehem keruyim mesim. Bazos, and it's because of this usage, says the Rambam, that Chazal say, this is where the basis of the expression that Chazal say in this Gemara and Brachos, that Sadiqim, even in their death, are called alive, and Rishayim, even in their life, are called dead, because Sadiqim, even in their physical death, are called alive, because they are the most connected to life. They have the deus hanachonos, they have the proper understandings, they have amassed chachma, they are really alive. As opposed to the Rishayim, that even while they were alive, they had no connection to life, they had no connection to the true life of what Chazal, or what the Pasuk refers to, the way that the Torah uses the term of the of chachma, of proper understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and of Deus Nechodos. That's the first point that the Rambam writes. So there's one more thing before how we'll tie this back in step one of how we're going to tie back into our point, and then we're going to go a little bit further. But the Rambam, we saw this, I think, within the past few weeks, maybe even last week, the Rambam at the end of to the very end of Mishneh Torah, the very end of the Yad HaChazaka, the end of Hilchos Malachim and Malchamos. So the Rambam writes in the very last Halacha, he's describing the time of Yemos HaMashiach, which is the time when Tchias HaMesim happens. Those who come back to Tchias HaMesim are alive for Yemos HaMashiach. And the Rambam writes, we mentioned last week, that the Nevi'im and the Chachamim didn't want to be involved in Yemos HaMashiach because it was going to be a very comfortable life. But because there would be, not because they would, you know, enjoy the comforts, but because the tranquility would allow them to be involved in focusing on Torah and on Chachma. And the Rambam writes, "V'lo yia esek kol ha'olam ela ladas es Hashem bilvad," and the only involvement of the entire world will be to know Hashem. "Ulafikach yiyu chachamim gedolim v'yodim divar mastumim." Therefore, there will be chachamim gedolim. There will be great wise men who know, and people who know of the hidden things, the asigu das boram kefi koach adam, and they will be able to grasp, to comprehend the divine intellect to the extent of human capability. The Rambam describes the time of Yemos HaMashiach as a time of this incredible revelation and proliferation of divine wisdom, of divine knowledge, and that's really what the people who wanted to, who were yearning for Yemos HaMashiach, were yearning for it because of that, because it is a time of that existence of knowledge of Hashem and the availability of understanding Hashem and understanding the divine. So I just want to, just as a step one of explaining our discussion here, that the Rambam says that the most fundamental point of, or is described, the one thing he's telling us at least about Tchias HaMesim is that it's only for the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim, even bechayehem, are called, even b'misasam, are called chayim because they have this connection to chachma. And the time of Tchias HaMesim is a time of chachma. It's a time when there will be the availability to be involved, and the people who will be there will be the people who are familiar with and who are well-versed in knowledge of Hashem. So in a certain sense, the tzaddikim are those who are most naturally connected to the time of Tchias HaMesim, the time of Yemos HaMashiach, and the tzaddik, that it's going to be for the tzaddikim, because as much as the Rambam writes that Tchias HaMesim is a nes, and there is not really much in terms of, you know, philosophical discussion and debate that we can really talk about it, because it's, you know, it's a nace, it's a miracle, it's supernatural, there's not much we can do to prove or disprove it. The Torah says it's going to happen, so it'll happen. But at the same time, there is a certain sense in which those who will be involved in Tchias HaMesim are, it's those are the ones who it's most natural to, even if the physical death is not, you know, naturally reversible, and of course that is, you know, an incredible nace, and the derech, the natural path of all physical existence is entropy and is to decompose, and that the reassembly of that existence is unnatural, and that's a nace. But in another sense, that being, that the connection to that time, that tzaddikim, in a certain sense, it's natural for them to be part of it, because the tzaddikim are, even the misasam, even while they were dead, they're still alive, and real life is the connection to Das of Hashem, and therefore the Zman, the era, which is the era of Das of Hashem, of knowledge of Hashem, is the time which is the most natural for tzaddikim to be connected to. Even while they were dead, they still had that connection. That was the most defining point of what it means that they're alive even after death, is that they have that Das, they have that, they in their lifetime acquired this knowledge of Hashem, which does not leave them when they die. And therefore, when it comes to a time period of Tchias HaMesim, the people who are the most naturally connected to that are those who have that, who have that knowledge, who have that, who they, you know, so to speak, we would say they qualify, they fit in to that time period, and therefore the Tchiyas HaMeisim is most basically and fundamentally for the tzaddikim, because that's what that era is all about. That era is all about Umarah's Day as Hashem, and they are, and these are the people who make up that population, are the people who have Day as Hashem, who have knowledge of Hashem. Corey, you looked a little bit bewildered there. Should we just keep going?
Yeah, I want to see where you're getting, what you're getting at.
Let's see what I'm getting at. So that was point number one.
The world to come is for tzaddikim. Tchiyas HaMeisim is for tzaddikim. That's the point, right?
That's
tzaddikim, Jews and non-Jews, or are we just talking about tzaddikim like Jews?
So that is a good question that I'm not sure that I'm prepared to discuss, is whether or not the term tzaddik can certainly refer to non-Jews. The question of whether or not tzaddikim non-Jews will be involved in Tchiyas HaMeisim, I don't think that we'll probably have a discussion of that in this class, but it's a broader topic. It might be
just curious.
Right. No, yeah, it might be involved in the other machlokus Rishonim, which is the machlokus of whether or not Tchiyas HaMeisim really is the onset of Olam Haba, or whether or not Tchiyas HaMeisim, like the Rambam holds, is just this intermediary stage, this temporary state. But it's a good question, but I'm not prepared to get into it now.
And one other thing is, like, this is not to be confused with, like, a Gilgal, like someone who's, like, reincarnated.
Right, no, someone who is reincarnated is the same soul in a different body, and Tchiyas HaMeisim is the soul being returned to its original body. A bit more raised eyebrows from Corey. He's wondering what happens if you are a Gilgal. Well, no.
You're going back to the first body.
So the question is, and this is a little bit tangential, but just really briefly, just because it came up, exactly how it works. That how does Tchiyas HaMeisim work for Gilgulim, for those who were reincarnated? So the way that explained, the Ramchal explains this to others, that the way Gilgul works is as follows. A person comes into a body, and they are an original neshama that has never been into the world before, right? They go through life, and let's say they perfect everything that they are supposed to do. 100% of their neshama has accomplished what it's supposed to do, so they would die, and they would go to Gan Eden, and that's it. They have no reason to come back to the world. Let's say that they only accomplished 60% of what they're supposed to do. So now what happens? The halakim, that portion, so to speak, of their neshama, which perfected itself, has no reason to come back to Earth. So only a part of their neshama comes back in a Gilgal. And this is what that many Mekubalim talk about, is Chelke Neshama, that the Ramchal writes already several centuries ago, that everyone alive today is a Chelek of a Neshama. There's no such thing as original souls today, that everyone has been here before, and there are no complete souls, because once you're a Gilgal, the part of the person who did what they were supposed to do, the part of the neshama that did what it's supposed to do, has no reason to come back. It's only the part that didn't perfect itself that needs to come back, and that part is going to come back. And so that's one of the reasons that they talk about why the earlier doros.
The neshama is like Legos, is like you pull it apart in little bricks.
So that's an excellent question, which I don't have
one.
So that's an excellent question, which is very difficult to answer. Which is that one of the most basic things we have about the neshama is that it is. You know, one, but I'm not sure how to answer that question. It's a good question, but either way, the point, that's one of the reasons why we have Yiridus Adoros, one of the reasons, but people are not on the same spiritual stature as previous generations, because we have smaller and smaller pieces of neshama, or portions of neshama, that make up these generations. But so at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, basically a person will be united with the neshama will be reunited with the part of the whichever guf was involved in perfecting that element of the neshama. So that's the basic understanding as the Ramchal has it. Now there are others who say that no, that the person will come back into all of the bodies that they were involved in, and just like you have a candle and you light a candle, and the original candle, its original flame is still just as bright. You can light seven candles with one candle in it, and they'll all be shining 100%. You don't have 1/7 of the flame in each one; you have a full flame in each one. So. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The neshama is a ner. The neshama is like a flame. It can ignite. You could have the same neshama could be mechaya and could be could revive in however many different bodies were involved, and not detract from the from any of them. But that was a 101. Yes.
If you meet someone who doesn't seem to be all there, you can assume that most of them are shaman made it.
Yeah?
Maybe not. I think we
getting sidetracked by many things. But
I'm sorry, we have to stop because I have to make sure we get through. I don't want to leave you hanging on today's
but
lesson.
The thing we're trying, main question today is tzaddikim.
Is what is the centrality of this point that Tchiyas HaMeisim is only for tzaddikim, and that tzaddikim, you know, even in their death, they are still considered to be alive? Why is that the most the only point that the Rambam considers worth speaking out when he discusses what Tchiyas HaMeisim is about? So the first point we discussed was that the nature of Tchiyas HaMeisim, of the era of Tchiyas HaMeisim, is that it is a time of Da'as Hashem, and tzaddikim are the most connected to that because they are considered to be alive, because that Da'as Hashem that they have, even after they die, they still have that Da'as, and they're the most connected to Da'as of Hashem, and therefore they're the most logical people to be involved in an era which is an era of Da'as of Hashem. That was the first point we made. I want to get a little bit further. A couple more things to see. Hopefully we'll get through all of it. The next thing is the Malbim in the Sefer HaKarmel, where the Malbim is also defining the term Chayim, and the Malbim here writes, I don't think we're going to read through the entire thing inside just because of the time, but the Malbim basically says that every creation has its own definition of what life means for that creation. And he says, for example, animals, life for animals means, is what defines animals as distinct, which is their ability to move and to grow and to the things that they do. Animation, right, is what chayim of an animal is, its animation. Chayim of a plant is the fact that it grows. Chayim of a domain, of an inanimate object, is the fact that it's there, right? As opposed to when it gets destroyed, it's no longer considered chayim in that thing. And the Malbim writes that each existence, each creation, has its own definition of what's chayim, which is unique to what makes it what it is. And says the Malbim that you cannot describe a human being as a being chayim, as a being alive, because he moves and breathes and eats and does all these things, because that's what defines an animal as a chai. That's not what makes man unique, is not the fact he does that. What makes man unique? So says the Rambam, says the Malbim, I'm starting from the line, the first one on the line is HaBehema, it's about halfway down the column that I've marked off, right? The word rock says, so he just got through saying what I just explained. Rock nucha loma al ha'adam shu chai. You can only say about a person that he's alive b'chelek sheba'avuro nikra ehu adam, via that component by which he is called adam, by what that is called man, a human. V'hu ha'seichel v'adeya, that is the intellect and the awareness, v'ha'asaga asher yifal adam, and the comprehension through which man acts. Hu chaye adam amitim, that is the authentic, that is the true nature of what it means for man to be alive. V'chein ha'maves, so too the opposite, death, lo yitzdak ala adam mitzad bitol kushav agashmiyim, is not justifiably called person dead through just the nullification of their physical faculties. Shebazelo meis ha'adam elachai bilvad. The adam did not die through that. The chai, the animal aspect of a person, might be considered dead through that, but the adam is not dead. Velo yitzak elach shem mavis elach shvisas koach aseif al pulaso. He can only be called dead with the cessation of his of the seichel and of the acts that are a result of his seichel. Umitzad zeh, and it's because of this, says the Malbim, Rishayim Mechayim Kriya Mason, that this is why the dead are the wicked are even in their lives are called dead. Ki chayehem einam chayeh ha'adam, because their life is not human life. Elachaya chaya vabehema, they're living the life of an animal. Their life is a life which is not lived out. Their seichel does not dictate their actions. Their actions are not according to an assessment of what's the right thing to do and what's the best thing to do. They just do whatever they want. That's not chayim of an adam. That's chayim of a behema. They move and they eat and they breathe and they sleep and they do all these things. That's the definition of a chay of an animal. The tzaddikim gabim misasim kurim chayim, and the flip side, that the righteous, even in their deaths, are called alive. Ki nafsham tishar chayim maskelos gam achrei hipardo me'agdia, because their nefesh remains alive and active even after it separates from their physical vessel. The lo meis behem ha'adam, the adam of them, that which defined them as human, did not die. Elachai, it was only the animal part of them. The lo yitzdak aleihem shem meis el ba'avara, and the term death only you can only apply to them in passing. It only has a colloquialism. Al shechadol haseichel, top of the next column. Al shechadol haseichel lifel begvia lamari einayim. In what we see, they look like they're dead. The seichel is no longer actively doing anything as far as we can see. Aval be'emes hu chai le'olam be'olam aruchniim betzorah chaim. But in reality, he is alive in the spiritual world, in the tzorah chaim, the eternal life of the nefesh. So the Malbim here again, this is emphasizing that the mesim, I'm sorry, the tzaddikim, that they are connected most intrinsically to eternal chayim, because that which defines them as chai, that which defines them as alive, is what defines adam as alive. Tzaddikim have that element to them. They have the seichel, and therefore they are defined as alive even after they physically died. In terms of what it means to be human, they are alive even after they die. So there's this point of what. First of all, I just wanted to point out that this is very this dovetails very nicely with something we saw from the Rambam last week, where the Rambam said the same thing about defining what it means to be. When the Rambam said Tselem Elohim, that Adam has Tselem Elohim, is that the Tselem is what defines that thing most basically as what it is. And the Rambam said that by an Adam, the Tselem Elohim, which defines Adam as being Adam, was Das Elohim, was Das of Hashem. The same point that what defines Adam as Adam, and therefore, says the Malbim, why we will call him alive or dead is based on if he's an Adam or not. And what defines him as an Adam is the Seichel, is whether or not he is Das, whether or not he acts according to his Das, whether or not he has an intellect and an awareness inside him which dictates and controls and motivates the way that he lives his life and the way that he acts.
Be a mensch.
So that is, and tzaddikim are the ones, therefore, who are called chayim, and even if they look dead, that's only in a very physical, animalistic sense. But in the most basic sense, or most basic to what defines them as being what they are still alive. Just a couple more things before we tie everything together. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva Perkes. The Rambam writes that the reward for the tzaddikim is chai olam haba. Right to the Rambam, behem hachayim she'ein imahem maves. This is the life which has no connection to death. V'hatova she'ein imara, and the good with no, not mixed in anything bad. Hu shekasav Torah l'man yitav l'chav arach l'yamim. That it should be good for you, and you will have a long life, have many days. Mi piyash mo'olam do, and Chazal interpret the pasuk, l'man yitav l'cha l'olam shakulo tov, it should be good for you in a world which is entirely good, in existence which is entirely good, v'harach l'yamim l'olam shakulo arach, and you will have long, lengthy days in an existence which is entirely lengthy, meaning that it's endless. And then he says, and by the Rishayim, the flip side, anybody who does not zoka, does not merit this life, who hames she'enu chaya l'olam ela nichras berisho v'avit behem, anybody who does not get that life, he is the person who is called dead. He is dead, and he is cut off, and he is and lost like a behemoth, right? Which is, I think, fits very nicely with the Malbim that we just saw. That he's you know, it says he's not Malbim, he's just a behemoth. Therefore, as far as being an Malbim is called, he's dead. But the point I wanted to bring out from the Rambam says that the is stressing here the permanence of the tzaddikim and the end of the Rishayim. What does it mean? What is the tova for tzaddikim? Is the chayim she'eni ma'amavas? It's that la'olam shakulo arach. Right? It's something which is endless. It's limitless. Their chayim is chayim because is real chayim because it never comes to an end. There's no point at which they come to an end. It's eternal, and therefore they have life. And it said, and the Rishayim, they are called dead, and they are nifras, they're cut off, and they cease to exist. Just see, this last point is, this is the Maharal in Gur Aryeh in Gracious at the very end of Parshas Noach. So Rashi there talking about Terach. Rashi quotes this Chazal about Tzadikim Chayim Kuriyim B'Mithasim Kuriyim Chayim and Rishayim Kuriyim Mesim. So the Maharal here explains. He says, Zed Dafar Nifla Ma'od Midirei Chachamim. This is a wondrous and incredible statement from the Chachamim. Ki Hachai Achios Ku Davar She'en Lo Hefzek Kal. Chios, life is something which has no end, has no, is not cut off. Kemo Mayim Chayim Asher Lo Yichaz V'Meimav, like Mayim Chayim, which literally means living water, which is Lo Yichaz V'Meimav, that the water never stops. We have in Halacha something called a Mayim Chayim for Tahara, for Para Aduma, and for things like that. Mayim Chayim is a stream which is not seasonal. If a stream is sometimes flowing and sometimes dries up, it's not Mayim Chayim. Something is only Mayim Chayim if it's constantly flowing. If it's always going, if it ceases at some point, then even the times when it's flowing is not a real flow. Mayim Chayim means that it's constantly, it's always connected to that, it's constantly coming out from its source. Shehu Noveya B'li Hefsek, it's flowing without any interruption. Umipneki Yesh LaRasha Misa B'Sof, since a Rasha at the end has death, because eventually he's going to be cut off, Hu Nikar Meis, he is called dead even before then. Ki Yesh L'Chiyuso Shelo Hefsek, there is an interruption of his life, there is a cutting off of his life. V'Harei Ein Zechayim, so even before then, his life is not really life. The righteous, even in their death, are called alive. Because even when they die, it is not the end of their life. They are prepared to come back. And this is a very lengthy discussion, which the Maharal set is not going to go on about. But the Maharal basically says, I want to kind of leave off the very last piece that the Maharal said, because that really gets involved in the machlokus of the Rambam and the Ramban, and right now we're working with the Rambam. But just this basic point that the Maharal describes, which I think fits very nicely with the Rambam that we just saw a moment ago, that the truth of something is, if something is only real, if it's eternal. And that is why Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only absolute real existence. Like we've seen many times that we refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence as the Metzius Amiti, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence is the only existence which is by definition eternal, always was and always will be. But existence, reality, is defined by if something is eternal, something has an end to it. So it was a temporary kind of artificial state of existence. The tzaddikim, who are zocha to the chaye olam of olam haba, their chayim is eternal. And there, when an end comes to their life, that's not a real end, because their life is the eternal life. Their chayim is something which never ends. Their nefesh remains, and they are connected to eternity. And I want to suggest that this could be maybe why Tzias HaMesim is so basic to the tzaddikim, because it's mora, it's indicative of the fact that they don't have a real end. If when a Rasha dies and that's the end of him, so that demonstrates the fact that his life was temporary and it's never coming back, and that's the end of him. Tzias HaMesim, even though it's a temporary coming back, it's demonstrative of the fact that the death of a tzaddik was not absolute. The fact that a tzaddik dies does not indicate the end of him. The fact that he comes back to life shows that his death itself was not real death. The tzaddik is connected to eternal life, and therefore death by him is something coincidental. It's something external to the real nature of his of what it means that he's alive. And therefore, Tzias HaMesim is most basically for the tzaddikim, because Tzias HaMesim demonstrates the nature of the life of a tzaddik, that afilu b'miyachaso nikra chayim, that death by him is something which is not really be'etzim, is not really intrinsic to his to what it means that he's alive, as opposed to the Rasha, that his death, when he dies, that's the end of him, and therefore he's never coming back. But the Tzias HaMesim is for the tzaddikim, because it's meant to exactly demonstrate that death by him was not absolute. His life goes on even after he died, and therefore he's able to come back because he never really ceased to be in the first place. And therefore, the most basic point of Tzias HaMesim is this point, that it's for the, that it's, Tzias HaMesim is it demonstrates the nature of the neshama of the tzaddik and the nature of true chayim, because those who are connected to real chayim, to the das of Hashem, and to the existence of the nefesh and neshama, which will be eternal, those are the people who are really in chayim.